so many things, like the Father's tender mercies every day. And though I owe my life to the cross where Jesus died, I often fail to stop and give Him thanks. How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear His mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see His bleeding hands, not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks? He was bleeding beyond recognition, was pressed into His brow. His back was torn apart to pay for all the crimes I've done. And you think I'll take the time to humbly bow? How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear His mother cry and not feel ashamed? And I'll say thank you. I will magnify the power of His name. I'll take a stand for Christ, for He is the Lord of all. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Please, you can remain seated for just a moment, but turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The resurrection is a critical doctrine of the Christian faith. Over 1 billion people celebrate the resurrection. Not all 1 billion people understand the resurrection, but every year at this time, the resurrection is cover stories on secular magazines, not just Christian magazines, news articles. A recent poll said that 90% of all Americans believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. There can be much said about the resurrection. We don't have the time to say much in just the Sunday morning service. Prophecy, the proof of the resurrection. There's prophecy in the Bible about the resurrection. And some say that the odds of all these prophecies about the resurrection coming to pass, which they did, would be more than 1 trillion to 1. And the resurrection is actually, it validates our faith. You go get your parking ticket validated. It says, okay, you can go on through. Resurrection validates our faith. This morning's message, a little different. The title of the message is A Better Resurrection. The resurrection of Christ, in a nutshell, it is saying that there's life after death for everybody. Now, some, we would not really call it life, but that's what the resurrection is about, okay? It doesn't stop when the heart stops, okay? There's more than that. By the way, less and less we hear about that, but the church should talk about that a lot. And it's just not here and now. And the Bible talks a lot about it, especially in the New Testament, and so we as a church should do that. Why don't we stand together and let's look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And Paul, the apostle talks about this life after death. And by the way, there's many different ways that it's communicated, and we'll just look a little bit this morning at it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. And what Paul is saying, he's ready to die. By the way, I would pray that's my mind, my heart, when I'm ready. But by the way, we don't know when we're going to die, so we might want to be ready today. Okay? It would be nice if we knew when we were going to die. Then we can get some running room, you know? We could think about it, and, well, it's time to, you know, turn over a new spiritual leaf. But you don't know. You don't know. You might go to the doctors and they say, I hate to say this, but you got 60 days to live. My nephew walked, 14 years old, walked out after church service, not here but in North Long Beach, and walked across the street and got hit by a car and he died. Nobody knows. God says life's a vapor and nobody knows when we're going to die. But Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. And he's talking about his death. And the time of my departure is at hand. And that doesn't mean he's going to LAX and, you know, 9:09 his flight leaves. He means, Paul knew he was about to die. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Wow, I hope that's how I am when I'm ready to go and home to be with the Lord. I'm done. My purpose for being here on earth is over. By the way, once our purpose is over, it's time to go home. And he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. So what's my course? My course is God's will. Why I'm on this earth. We had the young guys preach on Thursday night. It was a joy. It was sort of a treat. And Bruce was talking about how that, I can't remember who it was, but a little child, I think maybe someone, his mom baby was babysitting, would try to put a round peg in a square hole. That's how most people are living. They're wondering, what's wrong with my life? You know, it's because that won't go in there. Okay? That's what's wrong with most people. They're trying to do their own thing. If we do the will of God, we'll be like Paul when we die. I finished my course. It's time. I've kept the faith. Look at verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. Now he's talking about resurrection and after. Okay? He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about rewards in heaven. He says, there is laid up. So he says, I'm ready to die. Okay? And now he goes on to say, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, not just the Apostle Paul, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's look, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. Look, a couple more verses, we'll pray and be seated. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 12. Some in the church at Corinth were doubting the resurrection. They're doubting if there was life after death. And Paul, in this chapter, was just setting the record straight. Okay? And look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If there's no resurrection, he goes on to say, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He says, this is all a bunch of, you know, baloney. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. When we go out and witness for the Lord, we're false witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Just restating what he's already said. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. There's no Christian faith. ye are yet in your sins. Your sins can't be forgiven. Then they also which are fallen asleep, by the way, that fallen asleep means died, doesn't mean taking a nap, fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He's saying, listen, if the only hope that we have as Christians is what we can get out of the Christian life here on earth, he said, man, that's miserable. Okay, part of our joy as a Christian is just knowing when we're going through a trial, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're pilgrims on a journey. We're just pilgrims here. Okay, let's look at one more. Look at verse 32. If, of the same chapter, please, if after the manner of men, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, we're not sure exactly what he's talking about. Some people think he's fighting animals. Some think it's referring to the devil and his attacks. But if after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? He's sort of saying, listen, as a Christian, there's some fights down here. I mean, you know, God wants us to live a clean life. And this sometimes it's a little fight to live. God wants our children to be light in this world. Sometimes it's a little fight. And to be right and to be pleasing to God. And he goes on to say, look, he says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Father, help us this morning to just again set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. And Lord, those of us that are Christians, we need to change the way we think. We need to realize that there is a better resurrection. Not everybody has the same resurrection. There's a better. And then obviously there's one that's not as good. And then there's one that's horrible. And help us, Lord, to just look at your word on this Resurrection Sunday and get insight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to look at one more portion of Scripture, if you would. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you awake on the patio? Enjoy the patio, because in just a little while we won't be using the patio anymore. Because in the new building we won't need a patio. At least for a while. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. This is the great faith chapter. The first 30 plus verses talk about people that had faith. And because of their faith, they had victory. Then the last 10 or so verses, it talks about people that had faith, but their victory was different. Their victory was not really them getting victory here on earth, but their victory was just knowing that what they're going through is for the cause of Christ, and they're going to get their reward on the other side of death. Excuse me, look at verse 33. He's talking about some of these great people of faith. And verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's not the ones from Jupiter, okay? Somebody from another country. Some of you guys watching Coast to Coast too much. Anyway, listen to it. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. This is Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and we know some of those Old Testament stories. And others were tortured. Look at this. Not accepting deliverance. Please look up here just a moment. Throughout the 2,000 years since Jesus was on this earth, there have been many that were tortured for the cause of Christ. In prison, by the way, they're still being imprisoned in some places. John Bunyan, the number one selling and reading book on earth is the Bible. More Bibles have been purchased and read than any book ever. The second most purchased and read book, and some people don't know this, is the Pilgrim's Progress. The Pilgrim's Progress. By the way, the old Christians used to carry three books. They would carry the Bible, they would carry Pilgrim's Progress, and they would carry their hymnal. Pilgrim's Progress was written by John Bunyan, not Paul Bunyan, John Bunyan. John Bunyan was a Baptist preacher in England, and he preached the truth on the streets. He preached it all over the place, and they told him, you can't preach this message, okay? By the way, the old-time Christian true, we call it the Baptist message, was not always as palatable as some watered-down messages. And his message was, it was sort of raw, straight from the Bible, and some people didn't like it. And so they told him, they said, if you preach like this again, we're going to throw you in jail. He said, I'm preaching like this not to please men, but to please God. They threw him in jail. And then he was in jail for several years, and they said, listen, they told his family, said, listen, if you just say you won't preach anymore on the streets, we'll let you out of prison. His blind daughter went to the jail and begged her father to quit preaching the truth on the streets and wherever he preached, and said, Daddy, if you'll just quit preaching, they'll let you out of prison. And he, in a nice way, told his daughter, if they let me out today, tonight I will still preach. And so he stayed in prison. I want to say it was about 12 years. Please get this. Now let's look at this verse again. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That was a John Bunyan and many others saying, listen, I will not accept this deliverance to compromise what I believe God wants me to do. Not accepting deliverance that, listen to this, that they might obtain a, what's the next word, class? What's the next word after better? Resurrection. Please look at this. You know what they said? I might have a little pain on earth, but I'm going to have a better resurrection. I might not have the applause and the pats on the back of all my friends and maybe even sometimes of all my family, but I have a better resurrection. And the truth of the matter is, I might not even get the promotions at work. I might not even have my family's blessing, because my life is pleasing to the Lord, and sometimes a life that's pleasing to the Lord is not pleasing to man, it's not pleasing to the culture, it's not pleasing to the community, but it's pleasing to Him. And there are many today that have a better resurrection, though, as it says in verse 35, they didn't accept deliverance. What does that mean? They were willing. Look, I've mentioned before, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. We have freedoms and liberties that many of us don't understand. And when you cross the American border, you don't have, by the way, you go just about anywhere in the world, you can't do everything you do here. We've been to different countries where I was in communist Laos, and I taught a Bible study, and I had to hide my Bible as I was walking out of when they were going to pick me up. And those Christians over there, they can't sing on a Sunday, or they can't sing on a service at night, because at night it's quiet. So there's no singing, okay? And you know what they can say? By the way, many of the people that we met over there have been thrown in prison for one reason. sharing the gospel. You don't get thrown in prison for being a Christian. You get thrown in prison for passing out a tract. You get thrown in prison for going out and telling others about Jesus. But you know what those, and by the way, we've met them, those that have been in prison. We've met those that not only were in prison, they've watched their own brothers and sisters murdered for the cause of Christ. You say, Pastor, who are these people that would stand up for Christ and be, and by the way, they're planting churches all over, they're now beginning to plant churches all over the different countries, China and Laos. It's against the law. You say, what are they doing? They're seeking a better resurrection. And they're saying, we won't take the deliverance, or we'll be willing to yield the what we would say, but I don't know that God would say, certain blessings or certain benefits, so that we can have a better resurrection. Folks, we were too short-minded. We do need to think about what happens after death. Understanding what happens after death helps us to have a better resurrection. And let me say, if you're a visitor here today, I look, as a pastor, I have a responsibility not to make everybody happy. Though I want to make people happy. Thanks. I have a responsibility to tell you the truth. You say, why? Because the Bible says I am his representative. And so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to do what Jesus would do if he was behind this pulpit. And so what did Jesus do? He told the truth. Sometimes the truth just is a blessing and it encourages us. And sometimes the Bible says the truth is like a hammer. So what does a hammer do? Doesn't feel too good. Sigmund, understanding what happens after death helps us to have a better resurrection. Sigmund Freud, founder of modern psychiatry, said, and finally, there's the painful riddle of death for which no remedy at all has been found, nor probably will ever be found. Sorry, Mr. Freud, you're wrong. There is a remedy for death. You say, what is it? Faith in Jesus Christ alone. Understanding there is life after death solves the painful riddle. By the way, some believe in reincarnation. Okay? If I believe in reincarnation, I would say that my son Benjamin is his great-grandfather. You say, why? I look at his great-grandfather and look at Benjamin, like, man, they look like twins. But we don't believe in reincarnation. You say, where does that come from? It doesn't come from God, nor does it come from the Bible. Some believe it's dust to dust, ash to ash. You die, your body eventually gets eaten up by the worms and it turns into dirt, and then it's it. Okay? Some believe in that. Some believe all go to heaven. Okay? There's reincarnation and there's dust to dust, and some believe we're all children of God and everybody just goes to heaven when they die. Reincarnation is not true. You say, why? Because there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about reincarnation. Dust to dust and ashes to ashes is not true. The Bible talks about what happens to our body, but what about our soul? Okay? And let me say this. The Bible does not say that everybody goes to heaven. By the way, I wish everybody did. It would make my job easier. I would feel a little bit different about just the whole thing, but God doesn't say everybody goes to heaven. The truth is, Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There are two judgments after death. Number one, the judgment seat of Christ. You say, what is that? True Christians, not wannabe Christians, but true Christians, real born-again believers, will have a judgment. Romans 4, you don't need to turn there. Romans 14, 10 and 12. 10 to 12. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God, so then everyone shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:9-11, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we must be accepted of him. For we must all, how many class? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. God judges the Christian's works. We won't turn there, but the Bible says it's judged as by fire. And some of our works the Bible says it's wood. Some of it, our works are hay. Some of our works would be stubble, meaning that our works were not done for the right reason. We had the wrong motive. But those works that are done for the cause of Christ with a right heart and a right motive, the Bible says he will reward. Then there's the second, there's the great white throne judgment. You say, what is that? Turn to Revelation 20. We're going to look at just a couple verses here. Revelation 20, the white throne judgment. By the way, not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. A lot of people in America say, oh, I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian family. That never made anybody a Christian. Well, I go to church. Okay, no, that doesn't make you necessarily a Christian. Look at verse 11. I wanted to read the whole chapter, but we don't have time. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is a great throne. Okay? The Lord is sitting on the throne. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great. These weren't dead bodies. These were the souls of dead people. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now look, there's two judgments. It's a judgment for the Christians, and that's our works. I want to challenge you, Christian, to work for God so that you can have a better resurrection. I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but don't think if you just come to church and show up and listen to the sermon and then go on and live a life that's not really honoring to Christ and you never help anybody, you never witness to anybody, don't think it's going to be the same as if somebody like Charlie's a very intelligent man, and I think. Lives for God, and him and his wife live for God. And really, some would say it's sacrifice. They wouldn't say. They say it's a joy to serve the Lord. Don't think that every Christian, when you get to heaven, it's going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. And we read there in Hebrews 11, they did what they did so they can have a better resurrection. Then there's the great white throne judgment. That's going to be horrific. Look, there's some things when I read the Bible, I'm like, man, it's hard to comprehend that there's going to be people that lived on this earth, they're going to stand before God all by themselves. And the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. By the way, how long are you cast in the lake of fire? According to the Bible, forever. Eternity. Forever, I can't comprehend someone suffering. I get my finger burned. Ow! To think that people, their souls would suffer forever and ever, it's beyond human comprehension. But I'll say this, you don't want to go there. By the way, you don't have to go there. It's a choice. You don't have to go there. God knows all of our deeds. God knows all of our thoughts. God knows all of our motives. God knows what we do behind closed doors. God knows what we do on the internet. So my wife doesn't know. God knows. My dad doesn't know. God knows. God knows every thought. He knows, the Bible says, he knows the intent of every thought. He knows the motives why we do what we do. Let me say number two, understanding what a better resurrection means makes death less difficult. We don't like to talk about dying, but if it's such a difficult thing to do, Why don't we talk about it? Why don't we prepare for it? You know, I mean, you're going to take a test. You don't do this. Oh, don't talk about it. Oh, let's just wait until the test comes. Don't talk about it. Okay? We have bus drivers around here. Man, they study, and they study how the air brakes, and they study, and they get with Oscar Torres. He's the bus driving training expert. What are they doing? Preparing for the test. I think it would probably be good if we talked about death every week. You say, why? We're all going there. We're not all going to, you know, LAX to fly to Chicago. We're not all there's one thing that everyone, that, you know, there's a survey out, 100% of us will go there. Where? Death. Bible talks a lot about death. Understanding what a better resurrection means makes death less difficult. Paul didn't say, I'm afraid to die. And that's a sermon in itself. Taking away the fear of death. He did say, I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 4, you don't need to turn there, 13 and 14. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about this issue. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that he's talking about death, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Listen, when someone dies, okay, we've had many funerals and the casket's right there and there's a lot of tears. Our tears should be different. Our tears shouldn't feel sorry for this person if they're in Christ. Our tears should be, we miss them. We miss them. But guess what? We get to see them again. He said, we shouldn't sorrow as unsaved people have no hope. I'll never see this person again. What am I going to do? It's sort of hopeless. But Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or that have died in Jesus will God bring with him. Death is difficult for lost people. You ever been to a lost funeral? It's tough. Okay? When you're not sure that your loved one is in heaven, it's rough. I remember I did a funeral for a lost person. That's rough. Okay, and by the way, I'm gonna be kind and gracious and very sensitive, but I'm not gonna lie. I tried to get a salvation testimony, if I can figure one out, and it wasn't there. And so you say, what did you do? I tried to comfort the people that were there, but I couldn't say, I know your. It was a mother. I know your mother's in heaven. It's tough. Death is tough for lost people. But for us in Christ, you know what death is? It's graduation. Come on, it's graduation. Some of us will graduate with honors. Some of us will graduate with high honors. And then there's the rest of us. You remember how I was in high school. Hey, how come he's got that robe and he's got that band and he's got all his colors and his tassel's different and I just got this hat that's like a beanie? You barely made it, man. All those C minuses, okay? One of our ladies, she said, listen, when I die, she's still alive. She said, when I die, I want you to put this electrical thing hooked up to my mouth. And she said, I want it set on my mouth, and then when people come by, I want a recording that says, quit crying. I'm in heaven. Don't worry about it. Okay? Now, we would never do that, but hey, she's got the right spirit. Let me say lastly, truly understanding a better resurrection should affect how we live. Most people live like they're never going to die. And then most Christians live like they're not going to stand before Jesus someday. Many Christians ought to be ashamed of themselves. By the way, I've caught Christians doing things. I'm not going looking for it. I just happen to be in the wrong, I was going to say wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe it's the right place at the right time. And they're so embarrassed. Folks, Jesus is, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. You don't need to be embarrassed about me. You need to be embarrassed about God. But God sent his son Jesus to save us. We would live differently if we really, really understood what happens after death. Often, I like to bring extreme people in our church. I've learned this. If you bring extreme people in the church, when I say extreme, I mean just extreme commitment. You say, what does it do? It challenges us to be what God wants us to be. I don't think it's good for us to be with worldly, weak, faint-hearted Christians. You say, what does it do? It condones what you're doing, and all it does is it takes away any challenge. It weakens your faith. We had years ago, actually, there's a Sloan, he's in heaven now. Dr. Sloan was a pediatrician. And anybody that knows, if you're going to go in the medical field and you're going to become a doctor, I mean, it's a lot of school. And you know, after he became a pediatrician, you know what he did? He surrendered his life to become a missionary to Mexico. You say, Pastor, why would he do something foolish like that? It's not foolish. You know why? He wanted a better resurrection. We haven't had him for a while. Dr. Seamer, he's a medical doctor. Same thing. Medical doctor, he gave his life. And these guys didn't go to medical school to become missionaries. They went to medical school to become medical doctors. And then later on, they just their heart and their mind and their goals, and they just got closer to God. And they said, listen, I'm just down here for a little bit. I want a better resurrection. The Prushas, they were here, I want to say maybe 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago. Brother Prusha is a scientist. By the way, he's a nice scientist. And he doesn't act too smart. You know, you get around some smart people, you go, you know, usually their glasses are dirty and their hair's all messed up, and you're like, ooh, he's too smart for me. He's just a normal guy. And he loved God. His wife is a medical doctor. And he was a teacher, I think, Georgia, just a university. And his wife had her own medical practice. And, you know, they kept getting closer to God. And, you know, one day they just said, we want a better resurrection. She gave up her practice. He gave up being a scientist. Not gave up being a scientist. He gave up being a professor. And they went to the Philippines as missionaries. How many remember the Prushas? Wonderful Christians. You say, why would they do this? What a waste. I mean, listen, you're going to, and by the way, she's still using her medical practice, but she's using it to bring people to Christ. He's still using what he's used to study science to prove that there's a bunch of scientific things that try to discredit God and his word. He still uses it, but now he's using it for a better resurrection. I don't know the guy's name, but I've used the story several times. The brother, attorney David Gibbs talked about, he was preaching one day, and he said there's a couple that came down front, and they made a decision to go to the mission field. And the people in the church were all like, wow, what's going on? Hey, I can't understand. What's going on? And this guy, he was, and I wrote it down, an intracranial, I don't have it all. Some type of intracranial surgeon. See, what did he do? He fixed people's heads that were broken. And he gave everything. You say, oh, what a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's a wise investment. You say, what are they doing? They want a better resurrection. Here's a sermon. I'm done. Number one, Christians, how's your resurrection going to be? How's it going to be? Are you just a Christian that's, well, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that. I'm a good Christian. Are you a Christian that sells out for God and say, listen, one of these days I'm going to see Jesus. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and I want to have a better resurrection. And then there's some people, there's some people here right now. I am sure you are not on your way to heaven. And the Bible says if you're not on your way to heaven, you're going to hell. That's not me. That's not our church. That's the Bible. That judgment there, it's the white throne judgment. And someday you will die and you will go to hell forever. But let me say this. God loves you. He does not want you to go to hell. He loves you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sins. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today, you can have your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven. Why don't you take that opportunity so that you don't have to fear death like you feared it before, so that you can be sure that you're on your way to heaven. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment.